the future, next Sunday AD. There was a guy named Joe, not too different than you or me. He worked in a satellite loading bay, just polishing switches to pay his way. He did his job well with a cheerful face, but his bosses didn't like him, so they shot him into space. In a not too distant future, next Sunday AD, there was a guy named Joe, not too different from you or me. He worked at Gizmonic Institute, just another face in a red jumpsuit. He did a good job cleaning up the place, but his bosses didn't like him, so they shot him into space. Shot him into space.
Listening to Mystery Science Radio, broadcasting from the Yellow Submarine, bringing the world of offshore radio to new lows.
Yeah.
This is Torgo, and you're listening to Mystery Science Radio. We just heard Long Train Running by a band called the New Jersey Turnpike, or maybe it was the whole New Jersey Turnpike doing that song.
Torgo?
Oh, God, no. It's my Aunt Betty.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
Oh, Betty, Aunt Betty.
So, Torgo, what is it with that hat you've been wearing? You've worn it since Johnson was in office.
Ted Johnson?
No, silly. You're still the same old Torgo that I remember. Ever since Lyndon B. Johnson was in the office.
I have a poster of Lady Bird up in my bunk.
I noticed. And I notice you have some dirty underwear just lying around, and you have your toe shavings. What did I tell you?
It's hard to do laundry on this submarine,
did
Aunt Betty.
Did I not
it's...
teach you some good hygiene?
You did. I shower every year, at least once.
It's supposed to be at least once every day.
Oh.
You could get away with it every other day, but that's... I can definitely tell it has been a few months for you, hasn't it?
Well, yes, I'm not due to shower again until September.
You know what? If your Uncle George was here...
No, please don't talk about Uncle George.
Uncle George would whip your hide with your own hide.
Yikes.
You're going to want that.
Aunt Betty, we have to do some...
He taught me a few tricks.
This is a radio station, Aunt Betty. We have to broadcast.
What are we broadcasting? Well, are you going to be playing some Beethoven?
Maybe some rollover Beethoven.
I could go with that.
Good. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
Now, don't forget to sit
back, have a Coke and relax. Sit back, have a Coke and relax, babe. Things go better when you go better. I feel better with Coke.
Great Neil Diamond digs Coke after Coke.
Hey, weirdos. Bring a fiend to a night of terror. But wait until the dead of night. And from behind the tombstone, maybe you will see...
The Man and Monster.
And he is usually with...
The Bloody Vampire.
It's time for terror. If you see this, you will see an unspeakable horror that terrorizes the universe. You and your fiend can make it a foursome when you meet
the Man and Monster and the Bloody Vampire.
And your hooven shavings are everywhere, Torgo. At least your Uncle George used to make soup out of it, and it was darn tasty.
That was gross.
It was good. You remember. I remember you used to like it.
Goat's head soup. Yuck.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm taking you into the shower because you're in a dire need of one.
No, I don't want a shower.
Fine.
I don't want a shower.
Okay, we'll compromise. We'll put you into the bathtub.
No, Aunt Betty. No, I'm allergic to water. No.
It's time for the Trivia Hour on Mystery Science Radio, where I sit in with Radio's Frank and ask him inane questions that he inevitably will not know the answers to.
Interesting. I used to think that I knew quite a bit of, you know, facts, little useless things, because, so I'm told, I'm a pedant.
Shut up, Frank.
Okay. Sorry, Cap. Captain. Sorry. Yeah, well, technically, you are the captain. Sorry, Cherokee Jack.
Okay, Frank. Here are the questions. And if you win a prize, you get an absolute empty Coke can signed by Neil Diamond.
Oh, well, in that case.
Yes. But I drank the Coke. I snorted a little, too. But that's besides the point. Okay. Here we go, Frank. If... I'm going to do a hygiene question, seeing as how Torgo's in the bath right now, and Aunt Betty is scrubbing him clean. If an average male never shaved, how long would his beard grow to?
Good question. I would like to think that it would grow maybe 3 feet total. Well, maybe 3, maybe 4 feet. I've seen some people with like about a good three-foot beard.
I wonder if Gandalf ever shaved.
That's a very good question. I mean, considering how old he is or was.
He's several thousand years old, wasn't he?
Yes, but they never truly described it in the books.
No. Well, I'm sorry, Frank, but you're wrong. The average male, if they never shaved, would grow a beard to 13 feet long.
What?
Yes, they'd be tripping over their own beard.
Wow. They should just use it as their own scarf, too. Wouldn't that be interesting?
It's a fashion statement.
Yeah, and it's biodegradable. No? No? It's...
Okay, Frank, on to the next question.
I'm dumbfounded.
What exactly is... Well, yeah, don't take on labels. What exactly is the odds? What are the odds of living to the age of 116? Imagine that, being 116 years old. What are the odds of that?
I'd say one in a couple hundred. I'm pretty sure that we're able to live fairly long.
Frank, unfortunately, the odds of living to 116 are 1 in 2 billion.
What?
Yes, 1 in 2 billion.
That's crazy talk.
No, it's 1 in 2 billion. But
so you're saying with the population right now being nearly 7 billion years old, there are 3 people living to possibly living to 116.
If they're lucky, yes. Or if they're not, I don't know.
That's sad.
Okay, so third question, Frank. You really want to win this empty Coke can signed by Neil Diamond, so...
Yes, because I love Neil Diamond so much.
And so, yes. So here it is. How long is a summer on the planet Neptune?
Does it matter?
Yes, it does for people who live on Neptune.
Good point.
How long is a summer on Neptune?
I'm going to go with 200 days.
Well, Frank, you're way, way off because a summer on Neptune is 40 years long.
What?
Yes, it's 40 years long.
40 years
yes,
long?
Yes, 40 years
long. No, hold
long.
On a second. We get three months. We get 3 months here on Earth, and there's a 40-year summer going on
yes.
on Neptune?
Yes, 40 years of summer on Neptune. They're on the beach every day. They're just They're basking in the rays. They're just having a wonderful summer. They're listening to the Beach Boys.
This is unfair. 40 years. So you're saying pretty much almost my entire life, I could be basking in the sun and the warmth and
yes.
the awesomeness?
Yes, you could. On Neptune, you could.
I'm talking to my travel agent. I am booking myself a flight to Neptune. I am
settle
out.
Down. Frank,
no.
Settle down.
No.
Settle down,
not
Frank.
Again.
Come
not
back.
This time.
Frank,
I am
come back
Neptune,
here.
Neptune, my friend. Neptune.
You're listening to Mystery Science Radio, I think.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower. It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Your schoolhouse rocket, a chip off the block.
Got home from camping last spring. Saw people, places, and things. We barely had a ride. Friends asked us to describe the people, places, and every last thing. So we unpacked our adjectives. I unpacked frustrating first. And found the word worst. Then I picked soggy and next I picked foggy and then I was ready to tell them my tale. Cause I'd unpack my adjectives. Adjectives are words you use to really describe things, handy words to carry around. They're sunny or they're rainy, boys are dumb or else they're brainy. Adjectives can show you which way. Adjectives are often used to help us compare things, to say how thin, how fat, how short, how tall. Girls who are tall can get taller, boys who are small can get smaller. That one is the tallest and the other the smallest of all. we hiked along without care. Then we ran into a bear. He was a scary bear. He was a hairy bear. He beat a hasty retreat from his lair and described him with adjectives.
That was one big ugly bear.
You can even make adjectives out of the other parts of speech. All you have to do is tack on an ending like ick or ish or airy. For example, this girl can grow up to be a beautiful woman, but still have a girlish face. Girl's a noun, but the ending ish makes it an adjective. Girlish, that describes the beautiful woman's face. Get it? Next time you go on a trip, remember this little tip. The minute you get back, they'll ask you this and that. You can describe people and places and things. Simply unpack your adjectives. You can do it with adjectives. Tell them about it with adjectives. You can shout it with adjectives.
Oh, yes, thank you, Daniel. And now, here's a little something for Aunt Betty, who wanted to hear some Beethoven. We're going to join the network feed of WOOF in Hoople, North Dakota.
And now it's time for New Horizons in Music Appreciation. Different approaches to the problem of popularizing the 19th century classics. Now, unlike the Baroque masterworks, 19th century pieces such as the Beethoven symphonies are usually so long and melodramatic that the average listener has to be informed through the use of program notes as to what's going on in order to prevent him from falling into a confused slumber. The only trouble is that they always turn the lights down in concert halls, so you can't read the notes while the piece is being played. So, here is a new solution to a perennial problem.
Good evening, music fans. Here we are at Philharmonic Hall in New York Mills, Minnesota. It's a beautiful night for a concert. There's not a cloud in the ceiling. And there's quite a crowd out here. About how many do you think there are, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, Pete.
Well, neither do I, but it's quite a crowd. And I think they're looking forward to hearing the New York Mills Philharmonic playing against the Danish conductor, Heilige Dankesang. And here he comes now, ascending the podium, and the players are all lined up and ready to begin the first inning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor.
Four-note themes. It's very exciting. The beginning of a symphony is always very exciting, folks. I don't know whether it's slow or fast yet because it keeps stopping. It doesn't seem to be able to get off the ground yet. And it looks like, yes, it looks like we're coming up to a cadence here, folks. The violins didn't cut off there. A little trouble with the violins. They weren't watching. And there's that four-note theme again, folks. And another stop. Just can't seem to get this piece off the ground. Now it seems to be rolling a little bit. Seems to be building up. Tell me, Bob, do you think you'd call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, Pete, the technical term would be motif, which he uses to build a theme.
I see. Thanks for setting me straight about that, Bob. Well, we're heading into the second theme section here, and we can expect a little modulation down there. Wow, did you hear that, Bob? Somebody down there in the horn section really flubbed that note. That was one of the worst fumbles I think I've ever witnessed in all my days. I think it was number one, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, it was, Pete. That was Bobby Corno in the first chair, and that's the third major flub he's made this season, giving him a solo average for the season of approximately .247355, which is pretty darn low for a first chair man.
You think there's some chance he might be sold to another orchestra?
Well, it's hard to say, Pete. Corno's very good in the long solos, things like the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto. So I think if he pulls himself together a bit, they'll probably keep him around, although I suppose he might...
Well, I think it's development time down there now, Bob. Let's see what's going to happen. The horns are starting it off. They seem to be in pretty good shape now, and I get the feeling that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of that four-note motif, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
So do I, Bob. Well,
They obviously are stuck with that four-note motif and are going to be fooling around with it for quite a while. You notice it's pretty hot in here, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
Yeah, I think the air conditioning has gone off, which is just one of the things. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, there's something going on down there on the stage, folks. There's something happening down there. It's really building up tension. The crowd is getting very excited. The brasses have come in and the timpani and everybody, and it's extremely exciting. I think we're building up to a fugue. No, the basses are not picking up the theme, folks. It is not a fugue. The violins tried to make it one, but the basses are not following up. No, instead of a fugue, folks, he seems to be taking the theme and breaking it up into little pieces. Just two notes left of that theme now being thrown around from player to player. And it's getting softer and softer down there, folks. I think they're losing steam. They seem to be running out of steam. And it's just getting a little bit lethargic down there, if you want to know the truth. It's gotten down to one note now. And things are... Wait a minute! The brasses have come in and tried to pep things up. A welcome relief. But I'm afraid to no avail. Things are still pretty soporific. Wait a minute. They hear they come again. They're really determined. It sounds very familiar. And I think we've reached the recap, Bob, don't you?
There's no doubt about it, Pete. Your average Beethoven symphony usually has a recap right after the second quarter, and this one is falling right into line.
Well, let's see if those violins can cut off with the rest of the orchestra and the cadence is coming up. Wait a minute. This time it's the oboe holding the note too long. Wait, he's playing a cadenza. He must be out of his mind. He thinks it's an oboe concerto. The conductor's standing down there. He doesn't know what to do. Have you ever heard anything like that, Bob?
Certainly haven't, Pete. I think it was a disgraceful display of lack of teamsmanship. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Highwood's name wasn't on the roster next season, although I must say that the fans really seem to go for these outbursts of temperament.
Well, I always say, Bob, professional music teams wouldn't exist without the spectators. Anyway, we're into the home stretch here with the second theme coming up, and we should be in C minor right up to the double bar. Wait a minute. That's really something, Bob. The piece's build is being in C minor, and yet it looks like it's going to end in C major.
It's really something, Pete.
Well, I think it's something that the Composers Commission ought to look into, and I suspect that they will as soon as this gets out. But it looks like it's going to be an ending anyway. Things are building up a little there. The violins have really gotten a hold of things. They're really beginning to roll. And now he's adding all the woodwinds there. He's thrown in all his brass and the timpani. And it's tutti all the way, folks. He's got a great piece on his hands here. And he looks like he's really coming into the home stretch. Well, I guess that about wraps it up, hey, Bob?
Yeah, Pete, it's been a good piece.
I think he can really have something to be proud of himself here. Wait a minute! The brasses are taking the theme! They're not letting it stop! They're taking the theme and running ahead! Bob, this piece is definitely going to go into overtime. I can see that. The crowd is going wild. They're standing up on their feet. They're jumping. They're stomping. They're yelling. And let me tell you that down on that stage, the players are doing a bit of running around themselves. Nobody, but nobody knows where the theme is. The audience, nor the players, nobody knows where that theme is. Everybody is running around. And believe me, it's very exciting. This is the kind of thing that only happens once in 10 years, folks. They've got a new theme going on down there. I can't believe it. Bob, do you know where this new theme comes from?
Well, Pete, it probably comes from, no, I don't, Pete.
Well, they're tossing it around now. The woodwinds have it, and then the strings have it. Nobody seems to be able to keep his hands on that theme. It's getting tossed around from player to player, from section to section. And believe me, folks, the audience is just as confused as the players is about who is going to have that theme finally. Wait a minute, the strings have got a hold of it. The strings have got a hold of that theme, and they are not going to let go! What's this? I can't believe my ears! It sounds as if it's another recap! It sounds as if he's going right back to the beginning! If this is true, it's the first time it's happened in 10 years of concert casting. Wait a minute. Those sound like final chords, though. This may be... That may be it, folks. I'm looking down at the referee. Yes, yes, that is it. That is the end of the piece. The players are taking off their helmets, and the conductor has turned around and is acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Well, it was quite a symphony, wasn't it, Bob?
It was quite a symphony, Pete, and I think the fans feel that they got their money's worth.
So do I, Bob. And I don't think there's any doubt about who won this contest either. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the critics slap a stiff penalty on some of the players, particularly Bobby Corno.
Neither would I, Pete. And, of course, this was a very important victory for Haile Gadankazong, since it puts him right up there at the top of the conductor's league.
That's right, Bob. That means that he'll be up against the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony in the World 12-Tone Series next month. And let's see, they not only lead the Orchestral League, but I think they're unbeaten this season, aren't they, Bob?
You said it, Pete, and if Nakazan can win 4 concerts off them, he'll be the first conductor to earn the pennant since Toscanini.
Well, that's quite a challenge, Bob. Now I think I'd better be heading down to the locker rooms to have a chat with Dunkazong himself.
Well, Pete, I think he was supposed to be doing a baton commercial after the concert, but why didn't you give it a try?
I'll do that, Bob. So for now, this is Pete Shickley.
And Bob Dennis.
Signing off for the wonderful wide world of notes.
WWF gives you the time of day.
Wow, these are some really delicious brownies, Aunt Betty.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you like them. I put a lot of love into them.
Oh, I can tell, Aunt Betty, they're just delicious. Every bite, they're nice and moist, but yet they've got something crunchy in them and kind of nutty flavored. It's they're absolutely heavenly, Aunt Betty.
Well, that's what having organic brownies work for you. They're nice and they are all natural.
Well, thank you, Aunt Betty. I've been kind of hungry on the Yellow Submarine here. It's not a whole lot to eat.
Well, I understand they've been locking you up every now and then.
Well, I'm trying to behave, Aunt Betty. You know I'm trying to behave.
I'll have a talk with the boys.
Yes, could you do that, Aunt Betty? Because I'd like to roam around a little bit and be on the radio and stuff like that.
You really like being on the radio there, Mikey?
I do, Aunt Betty. I really do. I've been good. I didn't steal that bike.
Oh, I've heard about that bike. I really do think you stole it, but I forgive you.
Well, thank you, Aunt Betty.
So you just admitted to stealing the bike, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't steal no bike, Aunt Betty. I didn't steal no bike. Honest, I didn't steal no bike, Aunt Betty.
Eat the brownies there, Mikey. Eat the brownies. They're so good.
Well, I'm gonna go watch Doctor Who, Aunt Betty.
Oh, good. I like Doctor Who. I remember when Dr. Lovejoy... Oh, wait, that's something different. Never mind.
See you later, Aunt Betty.
See you later, Mikey.
Hey, where is he going?
I think he's going to go take a nap.
I don't trust that guy, and I don't think the master would approve either.
But the master does approve. That's why he hired him to spy on you.
Hey, so that's what he's doing here.
Oops.
How come you baked him brownies, Aunt Betty?
I got word from Radio Sprint that he liked brownies, and I couldn't find much in the kitchen.
And what did you do with all my toe hoof cleavings and clippings? And they were all over my room. My room's clean all of a sudden.
It looks great now. I had to do a little bit of recycling for you.
Oh, well, Cherokee Jack would like that. He's so bohemian and all new age and stuff. We've got to play some more music here. Cherokee, this is for you.
Hey, Torgo.
Yes, Mikey.
Oh, Torgo, your Aunt Betty is so wonderful. She's just such an incredible woman.
Uh-huh.
She's the bee's knees, Torgo.
The bee's knees? So that's what's happening to our family.
She's... What the fuck? Oh, boy.
Beep.
Those brownies were delicious, Torgo. They were absolutely wonderful. They're heavenly. I'm kind of blissed out on them, man. They're really cool.
Yeah,
I think your Aunt Betty is just delightful. She's groovy. Is she married?
She was at one point, and then my Uncle George died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Kind of. <hoo-hoo>.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. I was thankful that George came along because my aunt was lined up to be one of the master's mistresses.
The master's wives? He already has six. What's he need Aunt Betty for?
That's what I said.
That's what she said.
Okay, well... While Mikey's taking a little nappy nap,
I'm not taking a nap.
Oh, you're taking a nap.
I'm not taking a nap.
Quite
you can't make me take a nap. Only Aunt Betty can make me take a nap.
I found
the
bike.
You think she'd take a nap with me, Torgo?
Hey, Mikey, I found the bike.
Well, what bike?
You
found
know
the bike?
Yes.
You found the bike?
Get out of here and hide
it. Okay. I'm going.
Well, then, all righty. You can find us at Mystery Science Radio shortwave.wordpress.com or email us mysteryscienceradioshortwave@gmail.com. It's been great, a great show. Thank you for listening from all of us here at the Yellow Submarine of Love. Take it away, Frank. And how?
And now, the audition reel for Mystery Science Radio.
You know what, Torgo? I really like the way you look. Seriously, I mean, that you have a great coat on.
No. You need to be more sarcastic. More hateful.
Oh, okay. So, Torgo, where'd you get that coat from the 9 and 5 dime shop?
I got it from the Bad Will shop.
The Bad Will shop. Figures, I mean.
Or was it Damnation Army?
I didn't steal no bike, neither.
Somebody kick him right in the groin.
I didn't steal no bike, neither.
That's a little too high.
You have failed us, Torgo, and for that, you will die.
You really threatened me.
Oh, come on, Torgo, let's go shopping.
Okay.
Toot-toot.
No. I don't like this one at all, one bit. Oh, what? Oh, you want me to sound more upbeat? Okay. yes. I love the scintillating sounds of the Gene Krupa band.
That's Gene Krupa. Toot-toot.
The master would not approve.
No. You have to really be shaky. You need a shaky voice, Torgo.
Okay, fine. The master would not approve! How's that?
Much better.